Our scripture reading from the Gospel of John tells of Jesus teaching his disciples about remaining connected to him. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about connectedness. We often find all kinds of connections in our lives, some more important than others. I'll tell you a story about a newspaper fellow that was interviewing a very, very wealthy man. And he sits down and they chat for a little bit, and then he says, "How did you do it? Just how in the world did you accumulate all this wealth?" And the man says, "Well, it's a really very interesting story. I started out when my wife and I got married. We had a roof over our head. We had a little food in the pantry, and we had 5 cents. And I took those 5 pennies, and I went down to the grocery store, and I bought an apple. And I came back home, and I shined it up real good, and I went out on the corner, and I sold it for 10 cents. So then I took that 10 cents and I went back to the grocery store and I bought 2 apples. And I took them home and shined them up and got them all polished and went out and sold them for 20 cents. Well, the newspaper fellow's really excited. He thinks he has a human interest story here. So he says, "Well, then what happened?" "Well, that night my father-in-law died and left us $20 million. He didn't get his wealth from his own ingenuity, but he did get it from his connections. We all are connected in our families to people. And Jesus wanted his disciples to think about connectedness and to think about their connection with him. He tells them in order to grow strong in their Christian lives, they must stay connected to him. He used an illustration that in his day would have been very familiar. Like we talked about last week, if you look at the stories and the parables of Jesus, more likely than not, you will find that he starts out with something small, something very simple and very familiar to everyone. And then as he goes along, it begins to get a little bit bigger, and his message gets a little bit bigger. And that's how he begins to transition his disciples and followers from just being who they were into being people that bear fruit. So we talked about vines, but we don't live in an agrarian society, so we're not as familiar with all of this as these people were. But most of us have tried to grow something. It might be flowers, it might be fruit. Some of us have even tried our hands at grapes. Most of us have tried our hand at tomatoes. If we've not tried anything else, we've tried tomatoes. Now, maybe your tomatoes came out to be nice and big and lush, and you were able to harvest them and share them with your friends. And I was one of those people that waited for my friends to bring theirs to me. Not only did my tomatoes fail, but I discovered from a friend who was in horticultural class that I had a root rot in the ground and couldn't even plant any more tomatoes there for another 5 or 10 years. So some people have green thumbs and some of us just don't. But you've tried, I am sure. And you had an experience that was either very positive or not quite so. But if we take what we have learned from our gardening and look at this passage, we can begin to put it together a little differently. First of all, Jesus identifies 3 players in the story. And the first one is the gardener. The gardener is God. And the gardener is the one who decides where to put the seeds, what kind of soil to put the seeds in. And if you remember, there's one story about seeds going on a path that never germinate and seeds that germinate in rocks, but they can't get any growth, so they die. And then there are others that just can't get a grass to the ground. And finally, of the four, there's one kind that begins to grow. So it's the gardener, it's the planter, it's God who decides in what kind of soil to plant the seeds. And long before you were born, no matter how old or young you might be, God decided what kind of soil to plant you in. And the beauty of that is that not just roots, but what grows first is the vine. And Jesus is the vine. He is the vine that connects us to our roots, which connects us to the soil that God has put there for us. Now, in gardening terms, you've been planted in good, rich soil, and everything is there for you to grow. It's into the soil that the Father has planted you, and if you were to cut off the vine, then you would wither. Because we are the branches that grow out from that vine that is Jesus. God, the planter, finds the soil, first grows the vine, which is Jesus, and then we're the little branches that come out. And we are the ones that bear the fruit. So if our connection with the vine is strong, we will bear much fruit and it will be good. But if not, if that breaks a little bit, then we're not going to be so connected. And we might even fall away and die. As a pastor, sometimes I meet with people who are a little broken. They've gotten a little away from the vine from which they get their strength. Now, Jesus is a vine, and it nurtures our hungry branches, our hungry spirits. We seek in vain if we look for our nourishment in other people, or if we look for our nourishment in other vines that come from other sources. I'll tell you a story about a woman. Her name was Mary, and the story takes place in the 30s, back in the Depression era. And Mary and her husband had five children to feed, and her husband lost his job because the plant where he worked closed down. So Mary began to take in washing and ironing to help make ends meet, but things were getting awfully, awfully tight. And one day, Mary was just so desolate that she went over and she turned up the gas in the stove and put out the pilot light and got her two youngest children and laid them in bed with her. And she just lay there ready to give it all up. And she wrote later that she heard the radio playing. She had forgotten to turn it off. And the radio was playing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." And she bolted out of bed. And she said, "God loves me." And she ran over and she turned off the gas and she threw up the windows and opened up the door and blew all of the gas out of the house. Now, she and her husband made it through the Depression. They still were very poor, and they even lost their house before it was all over. But Mary had strength. She had strength from her faith, from God, to make it through the hard times. And they came through as a strong and loving family. She was at her most desperate. And yet God sent her a message because he sent her the messenger. There are some people who will seek what they need down at the neighborhood bar. There were some that will seek it on television. There are others who will seek it in different forms and in different places, but it's not our outer circumstances that determine what's inside. It's not our outer circumstances that determine what vine we seek. We all have choices. And when we seek the vine that is Jesus, when we seek the vine that feeds our faith, then our strength grows. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. We are connected to him. And not only is he connected to us, but he also connects each of us with each other. He is the connection that pulls us all together. We're branches linked in the vine of Christ. A woman named Stephanie Lux posted online about the members of her church. They had a young boy in the church that was recovering from brain surgery. He was at home recovering. The nurse came in every day. And with the pandemic, no one could go visit him. And they really, as church members, wanted to go and set up a schedule to visit, which they couldn't do. So one of the church members decided, she planned a community drive-by. And she had everybody in the church come in their cars, and they invited their friends to come in their cars, and they went by, slowly drove in front of the young man's home, honking their horns and flashing their lights, just to remind him that there was this whole group of people out there that were praying for him. They were his brothers and sisters in Christ. And they were lifting him up in prayer, and they did not want him to forget that. And that's how in the pandemic they were able to get that message to him. We are connected to him, and we are connected to each other. We live in a world that can be awfully lonely. Whether you're at the top or the bottom, we need to affirm and embrace the idea that we're a family. We're the family of God. I don't know what your role in the family is. I'm not sure I know what my role in the family is. But together, we do God's work. And when one of us gets tired and we can't quite carry on, someone else is there to step in and pick up. When one of us is stuck and doesn't have an idea how to solve a problem, somebody else is there. They're connected, and they say, hey, why don't we try such and such? And together, we do. It is Jesus that gives us the ability to bear fruit. And bearing fruit is what it is all about. When we stay connected to him, when we cultivate a daily relationship with him, his spirit and his values will fill our minds and our hearts. And our actions flowing from our minds and our hearts will also reflect his love through us and through others. One more story, and this is a true story. The others have been too, but this might be a little bit more familiar. Sheila Graham, a noted columnist with whom some of you might be familiar, wrote an article one time. She interviewed a lady by the name of Ruby Bridges Hall. Now, that name might not be familiar to all of you. It might be. But you will know who she is from my description of her. Ruby was a typical first grader. She went off to school for her first day with a big bow in her head and carrying her lunchbox. And she walks up the steps at William France Elementary School for the first day of school. Little else was typical about that day. In November 1960, Ruby had been selected as the first African-American to attend this New Orleans elementary school. She came to school every morning with an armed federal marshal group, and she went home every day with armed soldiers taking her home. And Ruby said that every day, on her way to school and on her way home, she was praying for all of those white students who were jeering at her and shaking their fists at her and telling her she didn't belong. And when the interviewer asked her how she could do that, she said, well, it's because of my mother. When I was little, my mother taught me whenever I needed anything and she wasn't there to say my prayers and God would take care of me. And even when I would wake up at night and be scared, I'd want to go jump in her bed and snuggle up. And if I did, the first question she would ask me is, have you said your prayers? So I knew when I was scared, when I was lonely, when I needed help, to first of all say my prayers. So that's what I have done all of these months. She prayed for those who were jeering at her. She prayed for those who did not want her there, because she knew that they were all connected. Now, Jesus cares for you too. You're in that group. And he gives us a greater goal as to why we are pruned. We're pruned to be faithful. And sometimes the pruning hurts a little. Sometimes we think we're going full steam ahead and everything's going good and we stumble or we trip. Maybe that's a little snip of pruning. We don't always understand why. We're pruned at that particular time, at that particular moment, in that particular way. But that is God helping us to become more fruitful. You read the little book, The Strength in the Broken Places? There is strength in the broken places, because when things begin to heal up, we have scar tissue there, and that becomes stronger than the flesh that was originally there. We're strong. And God does that to help us grow, to grow into faith, to grow, to spread his word, and to bear fruit. Jesus not only cares about you, my friends, but he gives us all the greater goal of being fruitful. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now I invite you, my friends, to continue our worship today and prepare yourselves to receive communion so that when you leave God's house, you may go out and bear much fruit in his name. Thanks be to God. Amen.